Okay, sounds good. So this is the third Sunday of Easter, okay? So, see, that's confused me now for the last week or two. I keep thinking it was the second Sunday because, you know, there's Easter Sunday, and then you think there should be first Sunday and then second Sunday, but it's not. There's Easter Sunday and then second Sunday, and this is third Sunday after Easter, okay? So I know that you weren't confused about that, but I was. But this, you know, the second Sunday of Easter is always about Thomas. We call Doubting Thomas, and you heard Father Bill preach along that line last week, and the faith of Thomas, of course. But the third Sunday is typically and always the story of the road to Emmaus, and so that's what you heard the deacon read for us just now. And it's one of my favorite stories. You know, I like narratives, I like stories where action's going on, and there's a lot of action that happens in that story. The other neat thing about it is that it's referenced in another gospel, it's referenced in Mark. And according to Mark, it says that the appearance on the road to Emmaus is actually the second time that Jesus reveals himself to anyone, to the disciples, okay? Now, what happens at Emmaus is key when Jesus lifts the bread, breaks it, and it is in that moment that his identity is revealed to the disciples. You see, you could say, you know, and there's probably some, you know, back and forth we could do on this, you could say that this is the first Eucharist that occurs after the resurrection, Jesus himself celebrating. Now, this Sunday is about the Eucharist, okay? If you didn't hear the collect for the day, although I'm sure you did, it goes like this. It says, "Oh God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith, that we may behold him and all his redeeming work." This is a Sunday about the Eucharist, the Thanksgiving, the Communion, the Mass. And, you know, since we've all been in isolation during this time, you know, and it seems like it's going on forever, doesn't it? We've recommended to you, as we've been doing these Zoom services, that you have bread and wine in front of you for communion. And that you place your hands on them at the same time that we pray that God would make them into his body and blood. Okay? Now, before all of this happens, some would be very uncomfortable with this. Okay, because the doctrine of the church doesn't really permit it as such. You won't go in and find that anywhere in the past. I myself was a little bit uncomfortable with this at first. But you understand, Archbishop Jones, our pastor, has given the okay for us to do it that way. He's given his imprimatur, if you like to use big words. So, but he's done that. And so you wonder, does that mean that we priests are therefore going to be out of a job after all this is over? Well, no. I would put to you that no, we're not going to be out of a job because we are the representatives of the apostle. Okay? And with his permission, he has said that we can allow you to be representatives as well in your own homes. Now, I want you to understand that a little better because this is important. And you're actually, you know, participating in something that is extremely important, okay? First of all, I've got to tell you a little about apostolic authority. And you guys have heard about this before. We've gone through this. You know, we are a sacramental church. We are a Three Streams church. We are evangelical. We are sacramental. And we are charismatic. And our sacramental side and the fact that we are called an episcopal church means that we have a government of bishops. Now, a sacramental church is one that has carried down those sacraments from the beginning, from their institution, to now. Baptism, communion. These are the two that I'm going to mention primarily here. Communion, especially, because that's what we're talking about today. It's instituted by Jesus and shared with his disciples, which later were then called apostles, right? Now, the apostles then passed them on to their successors over the years, all the way down to our present bishops, the current apostles. Okay? Now, Jesus gave the apostles the authority to act on his behalf. And because of that, we know, we are sure that these sacraments carry the full weight and power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 16:19, he said, Jesus says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will have be loosed in heaven. This, Jesus, speaking to Peter and to all the apostles, is proclaiming the apostolic authority. He is making them, he is giving them his full authority, essentially. And as priests, we act as extensions of the apostle, the bishop, okay? Offering the sacraments when and where the apostle himself can't be present, okay? Now, Bishop Jones cannot come to every church in the archdiocese and offer communion every Sunday and every other time it's offered. It's simply impossible for him to do that. Of course, if he only wanted to have one church, then he could. So what he did, what the church allowed, was that he could have his hands and feet, the priests and deacons, his deputies, so to speak, offer these things under his authority, offer these sacraments under his authority. So, with that said, with that understanding of apostolic authority, what happens when we place our hands on the bread and the wine? Well, do we as the priest actually make something happen? Does the priest perform some sort of magic and cause these elements, you know, doing blah, or, you know, whatever we do? No. The Holy Spirit is the one who does something in this. We really don't do anything. However, he allows us to participate in this thing with him. Okay? It's the Holy Spirit who does the work in the communion, in all of the sacraments. Right? But Jesus made this very simple for us. Okay? At the Last Supper, he explained it. And there really is nothing more to say about it. He said at the Last Supper, he explained this. He said, this is my body given for you. This is my blood. He didn't try to tell us what would happen or how the mechanics of the whole thing would work. It simply is. And you know, if you think about it, God's like that, isn't he? You know, he simply is. He is the great I am. He is. Right? And what he says is, it's that simple, okay? It's not magic. It is because he says so. You see, our God is that great. There is no mechanic that occurs in this thing. There's not a process that we can figure out. There's nothing to try and explain because God is above all that. If he proclaims it and he says it, it is. That's all there is to it. So, as I mentioned a minute ago, the apostle allows his representatives to offer the sacraments on his behalf, under his authority. And in this special situation, Archbishop Jones, the apostle, has given authority for us to allow you to do this in your homes while the priest asks for the bread and wine to become his body and blood right here on your Zoom screen. So in essence, you see, you are one more extension of the apostolic blessing passed down. Jesus blessed the apostles. The apostles bless the priests and deacons. The priests bless the body of Christ, members of the royal priesthood, to do this work as well. This is an awesome thing, you understand, that's happening here. Now, is this normal? No. But is anything normal right now? I think the word that I never want to hear again is unprecedented. Okay? Now, will this go on forever? Will we do this forever? No. But this is communion under special circumstances, if there ever was one. It is still better that the body of Christ gathers together in one place. You understand that the body comes together as one. Or in one accord, and you can all say your joke about being in one accord right now. Okay? As you heard in the reading from the Acts of the Apostles today, you know, in chapter 2 there, he talks about the things that occur when the people dwell together. So it is still the preferred way of doing things. But here we are, and we can't do that now, right now. So here we are. So, this is part of what you're doing, you see, and I want you to understand the importance of these actions that we're doing. And I hope that you've been taking our recommendation and having bread and wine in front of you for the times that we meet together on service like this. And if you don't, you'll still have the opportunity to go grab some before we're finished. Now, in addition to the power that I've described to you that occurs during the Eucharist, the Eucharist carries such incredible symbolism. Okay? Let me explain that to you a little bit. Jesus told his disciples to eat bread and wine, a very common thing to do. And then he told them that this was his body and this was his blood. And in that moment, in that instant, it was transformed into a whole new thing where we now, when we pick up that bread and we lift it high, we are lifting his body high. We are breaking his body and we are consuming him. Just as he was lifted high, his body was broken, and his life was consumed for our sins. And now, because of all that, the resurrection occurs in us. Just as he rose again, we are now the resurrection, for we carry him in our very selves, you see. All that, from the most common of actions, something that we have to do every day. We have to do it to survive. And that is symbolic as well, too, because not only is it for our physical survival, the communion is for our spiritual survival as well. So now understand, we don't crucify the Lord of all, Jesus, over again each time that we do this. But we enter back into that event, that astounding event, when we do in remembrance of him, you see. And when he led this first resurrection Eucharist in Emmaus, with Cleopas there and his friend, whoever that was, I wonder if it could have been Jairus, you know, because they were friends and we've recognized them in the scriptures before. When he did this in front of them, their eyes were open to seeing the risen Lord, to seeing Jesus in his true state, to recognizing Jesus as the Messiah. And this is what happens when the priest lifts the bread. And now, when you lift the bread right along with him, this is the importance of the act that you're participating in. You know, lots of science is being bandied back and forth. If you look at all the media, you know, these days, virology and epidemiology and every other ology. And, you know, it's important to know in these days that the Holy Spirit is not limited by these things. Okay? Now, I've told you before, and I'll say it again, you know, that as a scientist, I guess, and I was, you know, brought up in the scientific disciplines, I believe that science is really a study of how God works in the world. But I'm going to qualify that by saying most of the time, okay? He is not limited to the laws of science, okay? He can step out of that any time that he wants, and we call it a miracle. And we are, first and foremost, charismatic Christians, knowing, proclaiming, and participating in the active work of the Blessed Holy Spirit. Our eyes are open to seeing the risen Lord. He is revealed to us in the breaking of the bread. The Holy Spirit is the one who does the work in communion. Make no doubt about that. The Eucharist, he is the one. It's not the priest, and it's not you at home. But that same Holy Spirit allows us to participate with him in this blessed sacrament. That is an incredible and awesome privilege. You understand? Once again, he's not bound by the limits and laws that we place on things. And in circumstances, he decides what will happen, and he will act in those times. And we didn't do this lightly when we decided that you guys can do this at home as well, too. There was a lot of prayer that went on about that, because we did want to seek the Holy Spirit on that. And we sought our boss, our apostle, and his permission to do that as well, too. So it's not something that's done lightly, understand. So, with all that said, and with you understanding that, my next question for you is, what else does the Holy Spirit allow you to participate in? I'm talking about in your lives, throughout the rest of the time that you have when you're not on Zoom, right? Which maybe you're on Zoom all the time, I don't know. Oh, Lord, I hope it's not so. What things, let me put this another way, what things in your life do you allow the Holy Spirit to participate in with you? In your interactions with other people, is the Holy Spirit welcome into those things, into those times? You know, are you praying for others? Are you praying for healing for people? Are you giving advice to someone who is scared or anxious about the way the world is right now? Are you inviting someone to the service? Are you sharing wisdom with a friend who may be in financial difficulties because of everything going on? It could be in person. It could be over FaceTime. It could be over Zoom or even in a text. That same Holy Spirit can work in any of these platforms. He is that able to do. He can transcend any of this stuff. We've known of people who have been healed by somebody praying for them over a text. Again, he is not limited by anything found in our world. And in this time of spiritual rest, we might call this, you know, this quarantine time, we might call it, as I think I called it a couple weeks ago, a forced retreat, so to speak, commune with Jesus. Get prepared to allow the Spirit to use you in the coming days and weeks. Because though it may seem like this is a slow time right now, I don't think it's going to remain that way. I think he's going to have lots of work for us to do. During the service last week, you know, Jack was prophesying, and I had this vision during that, which I shared, and I want to share again. And that is that we, as we celebrate the Eucharist in this way, each of us in our homes, what I've been talking about this whole time, there are multiple holes, you see, that are torn in the veil separating heaven and earth. Okay? That's a vision that people have had for years in the past about when, you know, the body and blood are made manifest in our presence, that these holes are torn in the veil between heaven and earth. And that was happening in church when we were all gathered together. Now it happens in our homes at the same exact time. Heaven is coming down to earth. Heaven and earth are mingling through the body of Christ manifest in each home. That's an awesome picture that I had when I saw that. And you see, it's interesting that what the enemy intended for evil, that separating us so that we couldn't worship together, he had, you know, didn't want us to be able to get together, has turned out for good, and indeed is spreading the kingdom of heaven. And that's just the beginning. Hallelujah. God is doing a new thing in the world. And he's asking his children to participate in it with him, you and me. Keep your eyes and ears open for opportunities to be God's representative in the world, allowing the Holy Spirit to use you, you charismatic Christians, you. Now, after saying all this, I hope that you have a deeper understanding of what's going on, what's happening here, and what's happening when we celebrate communion together. It will be awesome when we get together again, unified together as the body, once again in the church, wherever that happens to be. But you know what? God is using this also in a powerful way. I hope you recognize that. Remember, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let's get ready to loose the love of God on the earth. Amen.